It's daf is daf chetz, and we're holding at the two dots, and Sadi Josh will honor us with nothing. So we had a machlokas of the Mishnah as to when we should count the Rosh Chodesh for Maaser Beimah. According to Rabbi Meir, it was Rosh Chodesh Elul. According to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, it was Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Welcome on Richie! We need for all our ships at sea to know who's here. What exactly is the machlokas? Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishnei Mikra Chadoshu. Both sides in this argument, of the three people involved, but both sides, Shnehem, were based on an understanding of the same pasuk. Pasuk in Tehillim describes the order of the year in nature. So it says, Lavshu Charim Hatzon Va'amakim Yatfu Bar Yitro'au Av Yashir. So now we understand that pasuk, but the pashtus of the pasuk is the Charim, which are the valleys and the hills, are now covered with the new sheep, and the bar is now across the valleys, meaning the new grain. Yisro, Af Yashiru, everything is in a state of pleasantness and singing. So it's a description. It sounds like a description. Springtime and the world coming back to life. But we're darshaning now each one of these words to mean something very specific about how we view the development of the springtime. So Lofshu Karim Hatzon, as the Targum says, means that we refer to the tzon as becoming impregnated. Either the lofshu karim, as the Targum's lashon is, refers to the males. So the karim are the males that now mount the tzon. So we use a euphemism that they dress them, so to speak. Or Rashi learns here, even though later on clearly the Gemara says it's a reference to being mounted, here Rashi says it means that they become milubash, so to speak, with their pregnancies. So they take on weight and so on eventually. So the lofshu, that process begins here. Amakim ya'atfu bar, which means that the tfua, the grain now, has coated the ground. So it means that now we can see the sprouting grain. Yitro'au af yashiru refers to a later stage, where the grain is grown sufficiently so that when the wind blows, they touch each other, which is re'ut, and make a sound, which you hear as the wind blows through the grain, as a singing. Af yashiru. So Rabbi Meir Savar, what is the meaning of the order here? A matay lafshu karim hatzon. When does the pasuk refer to the impregnation of these sheep? Bizman shamakim yatfu bar. Puts it next to the time that the grain is sprouting. Now, when does the grain sprout? A matay makim yatfu bar. Be adar. Now, that would mean that they become pregnant in adar, mitabrot ba adar, the yoldot be'av. Since they have a 5-month pregnancy, we want to cover now the entire range, which wherever it is in av, we're going to end up having the children at some point in Av, the newborns. So that means that since most of them will be born in Av, the Rosh Hashanah Shalayim is now Elul, because that starts now the next year's produce. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Eimatai Lafshu Karim Hatzon, when are they mounted? Bizman Shiyidro A'u Af Yashiro. Only at the later stage, where the grain is already grown and singing as the wind passes through it. Eimatai Shibolim Omrot Shira. So when is the song time of the new grain shibolim, where there's already grain? That's dafka benisan, because up until then it hasn't grown sufficiently to sing, so to speak. So that means mitabrot benisan. The pasuk now is saying that the sheep become pregnant in Nisan, and then 5 months later, which is Elul, they're yoldot. So that means that by the next month, we're starting the next year's production of sheep. So Rosh Hashanah Shalehem should therefore be Tishrei. I mean, it's interesting to say they both darshan the same pasuk. I mean, don't they each have to explain the fact that the pasuk has two dates, basically? It has the earlier date with the yatfu and the way that the grain begins to grow, and then they have the yashiru, which is the way that the grain is already grown. I mean, there's a month between those two stages. So v'idach nami hochtiv yitro'au af yashiru. And what do you do with the fact that l'maisa, the pasuk does mention a later date where it's already grown the grain? So how do you come to say that dafka, all of the newborns are in Av, and therefore we say Elul? The Pasuk is saying otherwise. No, the Pasuk is saying that there are such as well, Ahu be'aflat. That's the ones that come later, the Havya Benisa. I mean, look, not all the animals come into heat at exactly the same time. But what we're saying is generally, the Shiur should be seen as an Ador phenomena with an Nisan tell. So therefore what we have is basically an Ador Rosh Hashanah, which comes out therefore to be an Elul, because that's a new beginning. And then the nisan, the ones that are left over, Reinachinami, we'll count them for the next year. And what about the other man, the Omar? Reinachinami, Achtiva Amakim Yad Fubar. So what do they do now with the fact that it says, even at the earlier stage, that there was already the pregnant zones, which means Elul should be this year, like Rabbi Meir said? What does Rabbi Shimon Rav Elazar do? They say, well, that's talking about the Charfiyata. Those are sheep that are very early, and they're, what do you say, Charif? No, you say something. No. You have a child who is very fast. Precocious. Those are precocious sheep. There's new research now that memory problems really are problems. It's not funny. I'm not Mishael. Really? This is not short-term memory. I'm losing my words. I'm losing my words. So, Bishalay Mel Rebbe Meir, Kirachtiv, change the red wine. And chocolate. Might as well, exactly. All for the decline and fall. So those are talking about the precocious stone that indeed they become pregnant in Adar, but certainly that doesn't define the whole series of the years. We wait until basically the year's production is over, and then in Tishrei begins the next year, says the Gemara. But if that's the case, so then it works out. I understand. I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. The Lavshu Karimatzon is placed, we have, together with Bizman She'amakim Yad Fubar, and then the Pusik adds on, and that's not to say there aren't those that come later. So then it makes sense to use this as a dugma. I don't know how we manage that one. To use this, he poured me tea and he poured himself coffee out of the same container. That's pretty good. So that makes sense. We'll use this metaphor of the developing year as to tell me the din of Maaser, because indeed it goes in that order. But according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, I mean, the Iker order is reversed here. So it's a very poor way of teaching this halacha. I mean, if you want to talk, the pasuk halachically should have said lovshu karim atzon that yiro'al af yashiru, because that's the essential time. You're saying the other part ikanami, you're saying that's the tail. That amokim yad fubar. So therefore, to say I'll use this pasuk inverted as a structure of spring that's really referring to the end of the year where they're going to already give birth is an awfully big leap. Hard to believe that this is what they're arguing. Therefore, elam arava rava says I suggest it's a completely different issue. The pasuk means exactly what it's saying. The kulei alma lovshu karim atzon bisman she'amakim yad fubar badar. Clearly, that's true. The pasuk's description of the year's development, the agricultural development, is indeed talking about the sheep springing now into pregnancy in the spring with Adar as the Tua springs to life. But as far as the machlokas of how to determine when the Rosh Hashanah is, that's a separate question. The Torah, after all, adds an additional word by saying Aser Ta Aser et Kol Tvat Zaracha. Could have said Aser Kol Tvat Zaracha, and it makes it dependent on the year. I would say Ashana Shana Shana. Stresses year by year. In other words, you don't take off one year's produce on another. Is even different in it. Certain years are chayav in Maaser Ani, certain years are chayav in Maaser Sheni. So why the extra lashon of Aser Ta'aser b'shnei Maaserot ha'ketuv medaber? That means that there's a remez here not only to the Maaser on the growing fruit, but also the Maaser on the growing animals. So the echad Maaser be'ma, the echad Maaser dagan. So we're talking about things growing from the ground, and we're also talking about the sheep and the cows that we have, and it's being makish them. So Rabbi Meir Savar, makish Maaser be'ma la Maaser dagan. Rabbi Meir says, look, what is the hekesh here? That the Torah is comparing, by saying aser ta aser, the two maasrot one to another. So, ma maaser dagan, samuch legomro isuro. Do we not take the maaser dagan when we are ready now, when it's completed, and that is that it's been drying the whole summer long, we're now taking it into the granot, and we're finishing it up. It's at that point that it becomes chayav a maaser. We can't use it unless we take off maaser. So clearly, that's the time of the maaser. The next year, it has its own dinner. So that now becomes the Rosh Hashanah, which is a Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei. But that's because it's only finished in Tishrei. But the Maaser Behema works the same way by virtue of this Hekesh. And Samach L'Gomro Isuro, we've already seen that in Av, it's basically completed, that we've all agreed on, which means that it's Elul. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, and Shavai, they say, look, you're putting in an awful lot of analysis into the Hekesh. The simple way to read the Hekesh is that the Maaserot have the same din, and that if Maaser Behema is meant to be in Tishrei, Maaser Dagan is meant to be in Tishrei, so too is Maaser Behema meant to be in Tishrei. That's the simple Hekesh. You're reading in the logic behind it, but who's to say that that's what the Pasuk means? Let's define it by comparing it to Zman Gimurai. I mean, it's not really comparable, because Maaser Behema doesn't affect my usage of my behemoths. I can use my behemoths, eat my behemoths, whether I've taken off Maaser or not. So you can't say, okay, but now it's ready to be Maaser. Maaser it right now. Well, the Maasering time may have to do with the completion of the whole year's produce, which you also agree there are later animals. So therefore, what the Torah is saying is on the contrary. Make them the same. You got a Rosh Hashanah. It's the same Rosh Hashanah. So you have a Rosh Hashanah for Tvua, which is Maaser Tvua in Tishrei. Same thing should be true over here. Makish Maaser Beimala Maaser Dagan. Ma Maaser Dagan Rosh Hashanah Shalot Tishrei. Av Maaser Beima Rosh Hashanah Shalot Tishrei.
Why don't we just say Rabbi Meir hold on the first class again? Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold on the second one?
Because then you're not being Masber the Machlokas. Because we're not disagreeing with the description of the agricultural fact. So now explain the Machlokas. Before you said it was a question of Harfe and Alfe, but we showed you, I mean, but then why read that into the Pasuk? There must be something else going on. So, let's take a look, in fact, at the other issue. Okay, the next thing that the Mishnah says is that Be'achad B'tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'shani. I mean, what exactly does that mean? It's the first of the year for years. I mean, it sounds like a repetition of the word. What does it mean? L'mayochad. Omer of Papa, when it says L'shanim, it means for dating. The dating of the year. Why do you date a year? L'shtarot. D'tzan shtarei chov ha-mugdamim psulim. If you've got a predated shtar, so then it's possible. But if you have a post-dated shtar, mucharim, marchirim, that's kosher. Why? Because you cannot cause anybody a loss if it's dated later. If it was dated earlier, then you get into trouble. Again, I mentioned before, that's not so partial. There are ways of creating problems, but it's not our sugya. But basically, if you don't commit yourself to your later kinyonim to a lien, then by writing a shtar that has a later date, you're going to create a lien on a piece of property that you brought only subsequent to what it was done alone. In which case, why was there a lien on the later property? So it's not so partial. In other words, you need to be talking about a case over here with a person writes in the contract that the lien he's allowing a lien to be chal on everything that he currently owns and that he will own. It is possible to create problems on shtarot that are post-dated where the nature of the shtar doesn't include that clause. Okay, it's a bav mitzia issue, but just we should oversimplify. In any event, the Gemara says that that's a contradiction, because you said before that the first line of the Mishnah that said Bechad ben Nisan Rosh Hashanah l'mlachim, and at that point V'aminu l'may yilchata, and at that point Reb Chisda said that Nisan was l'shtarot. And I make up your mind: is it Nisan or is it Tishrei? Why is that a problem? Well, gosh, we already explained that there were two dating systems. It depends whether you've got Malchei Yisrael or whether you've got Malchei Umesayla. So Malchei Yisrael are from Nisan. Malchei Umot Olam are from Tishrei. So that means that the Mishnah is saying that. Is that what you're saying? The Mishnah includes the two dating systems. Now that's what you're saying. You're saying there's two shtarot. Malachim. Did you lose your machine last night, Rich?
No.
You were in an airplane, probably.
No, I came in around the evening.
And decided that tonight I'm not using it. I mean, I've been going all around the world preaching about this thing. All right, so then that would mean that if the Mishnah is already telling us this, so what was Reb Chisda adding? That was Reb Chisda's chiddush. That there's when we said the Malachim, there's a difference between Malchi So and Malchi Umot Olam. You're telling me that Reb Chisda Matnita, not the Lashmi. What, Reb Chisda is coming to tell me a Mishnah? I don't understand. I also know how to read the Mishnah. If you're telling me that this Mishnah is unavoidably teaching that there's two different times to count Shtarot, so what do I need Reb Chisda to tell me? Says, no. Reb Chisda understood that you saw that yourself in the Mishnah, but you don't know where it comes from. He was coming to tell me the drushes, remember? The whole story with Koresh pointing out that Daryovesh is counted in two different ways, that whole discussion. That began with Reb Chisda's analysis of the Pasuk of Daryovesh. And there, how would we know if we wouldn't have seen Reb Chisda was Kroy Atalashminan? He wanted to explain the reasoning behind it. Or you know what? It could be that Enoch Inami, Reb Chista, was coming to tell me the Etzem Halacha, because Reb Chista did not understand the Mishnah as meaning over here that it's talking about Shtarot again, like Reb Papa said. Reb Chista understood it like Rabbi Zeira said. And Rabbi Zeira says that the meaning over here of Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim is completely different. What it's referring to is L'Tkufa. It's talking about when it was indeed that we start counting the Tkufa, the seasons. Now the seasons are counted based, again, on a simplified year, but that's, I mean, we'll see later on, there are two Tkufas, but the simple Tkufa, Richie, the simple Tkufa breaks up the 365 and a quarter day year into four parts. So if the year would have been nice and simple, we would have had really not much of a problem, because we could fit it basically evenly, across looks at it evenly. Since it doesn't work out evenly, so we now have the Tkufa of 91 days, which basically splits up our year, and then we could have had, if all we had was one extra day, we could have had that extra day split into four parts, which would be perfect, because then we would have a Tkufa of 91 days plus another quarter of a day. So Rav said there's 6 hours and would be fine. It would give us 365 days a year split into four pretty seasons, which is would mean that the earth basically is facing the sun in four different ways every 91 and a quarter day, right? That would make things easy. But things are not as easy, because it's not 365 days. It's basically the rest of, we have another quarter of a day to split up, because it's 365 and a quarter days. So we take that quarter day and we have to split that up now four ways, which gives us another hour and a half. So the hour and a half now is added to each one of the tkufot. So now we have 91 and a quarter days plus an hour and a half, which is a total of 7.5 hours with the 91 days, right? So that means that now every time we go around the full year, we end up in each one of those tkufas, we end up with 365 and a quarter days. Since we've done it so simply, there is a nice advantage also, though, even though it's messy, because that extra bit always comes out at the quarter. It's the full quarter, even though it's an hour and a half, but thank heavens it's not an hour and 37 minutes and 15 seconds, which is what it really is. I'm not saying exactly. So, but we keep it simple, which means that basically, you know that if you're the tkufa that began, so then you'll always be coming out at right at the beginning of the quarter day. In other words, if you began at the right spot, you're the first tkufa. So now, the next year, you'll still be at right at the quarter day. Maybe the first quarter, second quarter, but you'll be right at the quarter day. And then every 4 years, it'll go around, you know, exactly which quarter. But you'll always be at the quarter day. It's good to know who's the beginning, because it's exactly a quarter every year. Every 4 years you would, because four quarters is a whole.
Oh, you rotate by each
other. Yeah, it's 90. It comes out that in the end that we make up for that extra quarter of a day by adding 1.5 hours. But it's still, we can't change the length of the year. It still ends up only 365 and a quarter days. So it makes a difference to us where we start. In other words, do we start the tkufa at right at the beginning of the quarter? So the question is that tkufat Nisan, or is it tkufat Tishrei that begins the beginning of the quarter? Okay, this is Tosfos learns that makes enough kamina lahalacha. Whether we count the tkufa from Nisan or from Tishrei. There are many shitas. The Gro is the head of those shitas. The halacha disagrees with those. And in order to understand how you could disagree, you have to be familiar with a concept called Shnat HaTov. In other words, the Gemara does not lemaisa relate to Maisa Bereishis as if it began at a particular point. Because we understand that when the Torah is referring to Maisa Bereishis, it's in terms of our visions of beginning. But when we really talk about the tkufa, we allow it to go back in time before a particular point in creation. So that year where we start counting from is called the Shnat Tov, because it's still basically in pre, what we view Bria. So it's the chaos year, we call it. So we can measure back, we keep counting backwards to the Shnat Tov. So therefore, the Grashita is that even if you would hold that we don't go with Tishrei, we go with Nisan, it isn't the next Nisan, it's the previous Nisan, and even though it's the previous Nisan, didn't exist. That's irrelevant. It existed in terms of Shnat Tov, it didn't exist for you. But you can call it that. I mean, obviously it has other implications, but Mamela doesn't really make any difference, because the Shnas Tishrei would be counted as if there was really a Nisan before, and we'd always begin in the same place for Nisan, because that's how the Tkufa is viewed as beginning, so it really makes no nafkamina la halacha according. It's a question of how we view it. Okay, I mean, so it's all chazanish to explain what the meaning is and how we view it, but fine. The idea is clear. Either it's a real difference, whether it comes out at the beginning of the quarter or it's somewhere in the middle, or it's a semantic difference. So that's Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira melech kufa, and it would be going according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds b'tishrei nivra olam. So if b'tishrei nivra olam, then that would mean that Tishrei would be the beginning, Tkufas, Tishrei would be the Rosh Hashanah. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak has a novel approach. He says maybe Be'echad B'Tishrei's Rosh Hashanah refers to a din that's done on Rosh Hashanah. Boy, what a chiddush. How do we know there is such a thing, that there's a Reishis Hashanah, a Rosh Hashanah that defines the year? No, we know that because it says in the Pasuk, Dichtiv mireishit Hashanah v'ad acharit Shana. Einei Hashem Elokecha, but what is Einei Hashem Elokecha? Einei is always a reference to Bezdin, right? Imi Einei Ha'eda. It's judgment. The Ayin is the way in which you judge things. So that means that there must be an Einei Hashem Elokecha from the beginning of the year until the end of the year, which implies that there is an end, a beginning and an end. In which case, we'll have to say that Mereshita Shanani Don Mayev Sofa, that there's a point that's called the beginning of the year, which judges and defines what is to be during the rest of the year. Okay, now that we know that there exists such a day, he claims that day is Echad B'Tishrei. You'll notice that it never occurred to anybody that the Yom HaZikaron has anything to do with such a thing. It never occurred to anyone in the Gemara that when the Torah said that Yom Tura Lechem, Yom Zichron Tura Lechem, that had something to do with Din. We need to bring a raya from Einei Hashem Elokecha that there's such a concept as a Yom HaDin for the year. What's more amazing is that even though we figure out that there is such a thing, now we need to know, and who says it's Rosh Hashanah? I mean, now you can't put two and two together, that maybe that Zichron Tura has something to do with, no, it has to do with it. So how do we know? What gives you the idea that that is a reference to what we call Rosh Hashanah, to the beginning of Tishrei? Ah, that's because it says, Dichtiv, and it's amazing. The only place we can learn that there's such a thing as a Rosh Hashanah Ladin is by a Pasuk in Tehillim. It says over there, Tiku b'chodesh shofar, v'kesel liyom chageinu. Now that's a big chiddush. It means that there is a holiday. I mean, we know that. There's only one holiday, because of Yom Chageinu. Kesa seems to refer to covering. So there is a holiday on the day of the covering in which we have a Chok and Mishpat. What is that holiday? Tell me one holiday. Go ahead. I challenge you. Tell me one holiday where you don't see the moon. There's only one holiday like that. Aviyom is Rosh Hashanah. Because even though it's after the Molad, it's very difficult to see the Molad unless you are in the small area on Earth which the Molad is visible. Because since the Molad is only a thin sliver of moon that is being illuminated to us, and we can only see the edge of the moon that's catching the light of the sun, so that it's basically head-on to us, if you're not very close to that point, you don't see it, because you see more towards the back of the moon, which is dark. So there, and if you're in front of it, you don't see it, because the sun's in the way, obviously, otherwise it wouldn't be the Molad. Is that clear to everybody? The way that the Molad is? Maybe it's kedai for us to get this clear right now, because otherwise otherwise we're going to be having some trouble. If the moon is being lit fully on its other side, it's completely dark to you. We do get a very good glimpse of that every once in a while. It's called a solar eclipse. So if it happens to be that the moon is directly in the same line as the sun, you can actually see the moon crossing in front of the sun. But every month there's a solar eclipse. The question is where it is, whether it hits anywhere on this planet, or whether it's out in space. If it hits the planet, it's only a small shadow, whether you happen to be in the shadow. But every single instant before the new Molad, there's an eclipse somewhere out there in space, right? Because the moon, basically, there's a shadow somewhere, okay, as far as the Earth is concerned, the same direction as the Earth. So now, no, the moon is coming between the sun and the Earth. That's the Molad. The instant after that is the Molad. Because the instant after that, from the perspective of the Earth, is the first time that the moon, the fact that it's being lit always the side that's facing the sun, if the side that's facing the sun isn't between us and the sun, then we can get a little glimpse of it. A slight angle. If it's all the way on the other side, we get a good view of that also every once in a while. That's called an eclipse of the moon, where you have directly the Earth coming between. But that also happens rarely, because if the shadow should fall dafk in that plane, that's a rare event. Okay? But that's what you're looking at as is the opposite of the Molad. At that point, the moon is totally full, which is precisely why the Earth could come between it. It's facing us in the middle of our night, and there it is, completely full. So it's directly opposite the sun from our perspective.
We're just not quite in line with that.
Usually, we're not directly in line.
Yeah.
All the time.
But otherwise, every month it happens, and we
we see that full moon.
Yeah, we always see it as a full moon. We sometimes see an eclipse of the full moon if it happens to be directly in line. So that's anti-Molad time. So as the moon now pulls away further from the sun, from our perspective, it seems to be getting fuller and fuller. As it goes back from our perspective, getting closer and closer to the sun, it seems again to be getting smaller and smaller, this time from the other side, and is now disappearing. Then when it comes between the earth and the sun, it disappears completely, and then gradually shifts back into view. Now, obviously, your place on earth is going to define how well you're going to be seeing that Molad, because the distance that you've got on the earth's surface at the time that this moon is near the sun is a very small window, because if the sun is up, usually you're not going to be able to see anything of a moon that in your perspective is near the sun. And at the end or beginning of the month, it's always near the sun. Either it's near the sun at sunrise, near the sun at sunset, but it's near the sun. So you've got to be just over the horizon while the moon is still there, right? But the sun is out of sight. So then you can catch now that glimpse. So that means at the beginning of the month, you're not going to be able, unless you're in the right position, you're not going to be able to see the new moon. It has to be right by the sunrise.
Half the time it's impossible.
What do you mean half the time? For a day? We'll see. For a day and a half, it's, for all intents and purposes, impossible. But
by the way, there's a book that's been published in the Maor, show the 3D, shows all the Moladim and the...
Yes, separate book for the Maor?
I read this one, it was separate. This was about 30
or it's in the Shas.
This is only 30 shekels.
Well, that's reasonable. If there's a 30 shekel book, everybody ought to get it.
3D.
Really?
Showing all the Moladim.
You get a little planetarium and everything. Good. So obviously, it's the Molad for Rosh Hashanah is basically going to be invisible, right? So it's covered over to people that aren't right at the bright spot. So what is that month? What is that holiday? It could only be Rosh Hashanah. Every other holiday, even Shavuot. I mean, Shavuot also is the sixth of the month, but by the sixth of the month, you've got a quarter of a moon. So everybody can see that. So there's only one thing it could be referring to. You see, it says that there is a judgment at that time. There's a time of Mishpat. So therefore, we know that there's Rosh Hashanah for Dinim, and that's what we call Rosh Hashanah. Tanur Rabbanan, Ki Chok LiYisrael U'Mishpat Elohei Yaakov Milamed. Why say first there's a Chok LiYisrael to be Mekadesh the Chodesh? And then Mishpat Elohei Yaakov Milamed She'in Beit Din Shemala Nichvasim LaDin Elohim Ken Kitshu Beit Din Shemata the Chodesh. That we don't have a Din unless Beis Din Shemata already were Mekadesh the month, and they make this Rosh Hashanah. Tanya Idach, which essentially means that if Beis Din is Koveya, a different day for Rosh Chodesh, then a different day is Rosh Hashanah. What do I mean? Tanya Rabbana, Tanya Idach, Ki Chok LiYisrael. No, this refers to God's giving out the judgment for Yisrael. So that means in the Elo LiYisrael, that would mean that Rosh Hashanah is only given to Yisrael. Lumod HaOlam Minayin, Talmud Lomar Mishpat LeLokei Yaakov. That the God of Yaakov also has a general mishpat. So then why, what's the nafkamina already? Why mention the Chok Yisrael first? That teaches us, Melamed, she Yisrael nichlasim techilal adin. That first goes in Yisrael, then the rest of the world. The Omer of Chista, Melech v'tzibur. If you have a din now, on a Melech and on the Tzibur, they both have their responsibilities here. The Melech nichlas techilal adin. She ne'amar mishpat avdo mishpat amo. Why does Shlomo Melech mention first Mishpat Avdo, and only then Lasot Mishpat Avdo Mishpat Amo Yisrael Dvar Yom Biyomo? That's because my time, Iba Yitema Lavurachar Lameka Malka Avroi. Either because it's not Derech Eretz, so the king to need to wait until the end. Iba Yitema Mekamadalei for Shcharon Av. Or we'd say it's also because if there would be a din on the Tzibur first, or a din on the Olam first, in terms of our metaphor for Yisrael, so then by that point the dinim would be running wild. It's an awful world. But therefore, before Hashem gets good and angry, we better get in there. So therefore we have Yisrael. It makes sense to have Yisrael coming in earlier, the Melech coming in earlier. In this metaphor, it's like Melech. In other words, these ta'amim apply to Am Yisrael. Okay, beautiful. You'll notice how majestically this Besefta is arranged. Often it's not as obvious how the interrelated layers of the Masechta are introducing the themes, you know. But here, it's just, we've seen it again and again and again, the theme of the interrelationship. Here we go again. The day that the month is covered defines the nature of the year. I mean, it's once again a sun-moon interrelationship on so many different levels, whether in terms of Kiddush HaKodesh or the nature nature. The nature of the Kisui Alavana, according to Tosfos, is once again a reference back to Briyas Ha'olam, that the moon had tainas against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole story of the Gemara Chulin, that the moon had to be Memayed herself, which, by the way, according to Tosfos, is the remez, the midrashic remez to the Tkufa, because the Tkufa of the moon reflects the time that the moon was Noyag and Azifa for having, because Hashem was angry at her. So we have to take that out of the time of the Tkufa. It all has the interrelated relationships to the midrashikon. But in any event, here you see it again. It all sort of just fits in to analyzing the simple meaning in a Mishnah. Okay, what does this word mean? And there's no way to avoid that ongoing interweaving of themes, which is the essence of the Masechta, whether Richie sleeps or not.
Richie!
Well, what's the halachic
importance? We've missed you.
What's the halachic importance of the Tkufa today?
That's the Machlokas Tosfos and the Groin. Ula Shmiti. Next case we had was that Shemitah begins on Rosh Hashanah. Minala. Dechtivu b'shana ha-shevi'it Shabbat Shabbaton Yelaret. How do you know what Bashana Shavit means? How do we count the Shana? Who's to say we count the Shana from Tishrei? Because we learn it out from Exereshava. Gomar Shana Shana Mitishrei. Dichtiv. Mireshit Hashana. So Mireshit Hashana we just identified as being the seventh month. And now we know that Shnat Shmita is also from the seventh month. We find also the word Shana used for Nisan. Why can't we leave more Shana Shana mi Nisan? Dichtiv Rishonu Lachem Lechotshe Hashana. Ah, but again, that's a shana that takes into consideration its relationship to the months. Danin shana she'eni ma'chodashim, mishana she'eni ma'chodashim. Ein danin shana she'eni ma'chodashim, mishana she'eshi ma'chodashim. The same time that we had in the inverse earlier is now this way. Makes more sense to learn from Tishrei here than it does from Nisan, because Nisan insists on chodshei hashana. Shenken over here, which is better for us to learn from Tishrei, which is only hashana. And we count from Yovlos. Yovlos. We've had this already three times. Yovlos be'echa b'tishreyu. Yovlos ba'asara b'tishreyu. I thought Yovel begins, as it says in the Pasuk, Bayom HaKippurim Taviru Shofar. Yom Kippur, last I heard, comes out on the 10th of the month. Doesn't come out on the 1st of the month. So even that's what it says. Avarta Shofar Trua. Ba'asor l'chodesh. Ba'asor l'chodesh. It's not Rosh Hashanah. Ah, Hamani. As we saw earlier, Rabbi Yishmael ben Asher b'yochanan ben Prokayi. D'etanya. V'kidashtem et shnat ha-chamishim shana. Shnata Hamishim Shana. Did you ever hear anything so redundant? Shnata Hamishim Shana. Matam with Lamar. What was it trying to say, Bechla? Because the fish and Nemar Biyom HaKippurim. Since it says Beferish Vahavarta Shofar Tua Basor Lachodesh Biyom HaKippurim Tabiru Shofar B'chol Artzachem. So you might think that that in fact is Ma'akit. And Yocholote Mitkadeshet Elam Yom HaKippurim Ve'elam. And maybe that means there's no Chalot Kedusha at all of Yova before Yom Kippur. Therefore, Talmud Lomar V'kidashtem Shnat HaChamishim Shana Malamek Shemitkadeshet V'olechet B'tchilata. This is coming to tell me that the year is a staged year, that it gradually comes into effect. It's Mitkadeshet V'olechet. How is it Mitkadeshet V'olechet? Mikanam Rabbi Shmodam Rabbi Noshav Yochum and Broka. Shana is like this. Mi'ikar Adin, an Eved does not work already from the beginning of Shnas HaYoiv. As it says, Kidashim Shata Chamashim Shana. So Mi Rosh Hashanah Avad Yom HaKippurim Lohayu Avadim Niftarim Levateim. They can't yet go home. Because the going home, it says, Vaviru Shofar Tua, and then the Karatem Dror. Okay? But that's the height of the experience. The beginning, first 10 days, they don't go home, but they're also Lo Mishta Abim La Adonehem. They also don't do work for anybody else, but rather they act out their freedom. Ochlim, Vishotim, Usmechim, Vatarotehem, Verojehem. They can wear the Atara that shows that they are free. Tivanji, Yia Yom HaKippurim, Taku Beitin Bishofar, and Niftaru Avadim Levatehem, Vesadot Chazrot Levalehem. Then comes the actual sending off of the Avadim, sending back all fields to whom the families that originally were the owners. And that's a gradual understanding of the meaning of Shana that's reintroduced here with the word the extra Shana. But the Rabbanan say, no, we have a much more prosaic understanding of that word Shana. I'm terribly sorry. This is very poetic. But the Shanim Atamekadesh Viatamekadesh Chodashim. What this means is the Kiddush the Mitzvah the Chamishim Shana only be Mekadesh the year. There's no din of Kiddush HaChodesh. Meaning you Mechashiv the Chodesh, but you don't get up there and say Mikudash. There's no Indian that Bezdin has to be the ones that provide the Kedusha. They simply provide the Cheshbon and the acceptance of the Eidus, and the rejection of the Eidus, and the Chodesh is Mitkadesh Me'elav. You don't have that. The Maisa, we'll see, there's a three-way Machlokas. We'll see that those who hold like this, it seems to be saying, there's no Kedusha at all, Samakadesh. There are those who hold that you're always Mekadesh, not like this Drasha, whether it's a Chodesh Mole or Chodesh Chaser. And there are those who hold that you need to be Mekadesh where you've changed things. Okay. As we'll see.
They never Mekadesh
Tishrei,
or what was it? We don't say
Mekadesh Chodesh. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I started explaining that. I don't know how I got off. Oh, Richie. It was Richie. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, always Richie. So Richie. Yeah. That's right. That's what Leah said. Now we've got a kid, we can blame everything. So.
Blame him. Richie's fault.
That's six. So Tosfos, I was about to explain earlier, there's other pshatim in Achodesh Mitkaseba. Somewhere in Achodesh Mitkaseba is the pshat that we don't bring the Seirah Shel Rosh Chodesh. That was reported from Asar Mikutzi, and it was tremendous tainus, like you said, when it says Beferish, even though it doesn't say Milvad, we have all kinds of other drush. Anyway, it turns out that the meaning of that was that we ignore the Seirah Shel Rosh Chodesh for some reason, for Rosh Hashanah, and we don't mention it. Rabbi Natan Lamaisa does mention it. He mentions Shnei Seirim Lechaper in his Musa, but others were learning that it means we don't mention it in our tefillah. Some learned that it simply means it doesn't say in the pasuk. It doesn't say milvad mi'olat rosh chodesh, which is by definition always going to be on Yom Zikron Tru'ah. But that already forces us back to the nature of the kisui of the levana bichlal, because the soy of rosh chodesh is unique because it's being brought la'ashem, l'chaper la'ashem. And the Gemara explains that that's because the moon was unable to be satisfied by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having been reduced. And therefore he said, okay, look, so bring a kapor on me every month. That's the Seirah Shel Rosh Chodesh. This is the only time that we say that. You know, the Seirah Shel Rosh Chodesh is for us, not for Hashem. That element is covered on Rosh Hashanah. They have Bria. We'll see in the Gemara coming up soon. So then we'll talk about why that would be true. But as far as why we don't, as far as the president was raising the question, what we call Kiddush Chodesh, it's just basically an announcement and a prayer about the Levona, the new month that's coming. Yeah, what we call Birkas Chodesh, not really any kind of Kiddush HaKodesh. That's simply because Rosh Hashanah is something that doesn't require announcing, that everybody knows. Rosh Chodesh is already something that we want to be masking. Right. Yeah, okay, we'll talk about the Midrashic Ramazim later in the Machlokes Rabbi Yeshua. You have to do whatever you have to always. Sure. It's not an announcement issue. Absolutely. No, that's in the Mishnah. That's a different sheet. We'll see what we get. Right, anyway, continued. Now, according to the Rabbanan, the explanation, therefore, is very simple. Tanya Ida. Yovel hi. Now, let's darshan over here. We just darshan the pasuk. Yovel hi. Shnat ha-chamishim shanat yelachem. So this means that it's somehow or other we're reintroducing. We had the words about kidash shnat ha-chamishim shana. We just had a moment ago. Why do you now have to repeat two psukim later? Yovel hi. Shnat ha-chamishim shanat yelachem. That's what you just said, didn't you? Oh, mata mulomar. See, you might think, you might think that was there not a gradual growth of the concept of the month? We just said, we start off with Atarotayim Barosheyhem, but they're not Niftar on the Batayim. Then they're Niftar on the Batayim, Sadot HaChazot HaBalayim. So you might think that Kach Mitkadeshet V'Olechet Bisofa, that you may have maybe the same thing at the end, that you have a gradual changeover from Yovel to post Yovel. The Alta Tamei, but is that so crazy to say? Is that so crazy? We all have a concept of Mosifim Yichol Al Kodesh. We add a little bit before, a little bit after. So we have a before Yom Kippur and after Yom Kippur. We're going to see later on that we have a before Shemitah and an after Shemitah. So there's a din of Yisofa. So maybe indeed there's a din of Yovel also like that. That there's various elements of Yovel that apply to the next year. Kamud Lamar, therefore, it has to add over here the extra pasuk. Yovel hi shnat ha-chamishim shanat yelachem, only the 50th year, not the 51st year. Now, wait a minute, says the Gemara. Shnat ha-chamishim atah mekadesh, yata mekadesh shnat ha-chamishim lachat. But that's only true according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. I mean, if you hold according to the Rabbanan, there wasn't a gradual introduction of Yovel that should say there should be a gradual changeover from Yovel. Tosis points out, why isn't it just the opposite? According to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, you have a whole year of Yovel. But according to Chachamim, you start on Yom Kippur, you should end the next Yom Kippur. According to them, there's even a better reason for us to say that we need a Paschatami only the 50th year and not the 51st year. So why does the Gemara say it like this? Right? I mean, you could look at it like that.
So the 51st year is the first year of the next year.
Yeah, well, that we'll talk about in a minute. So Tosfos says that you can't say, if the year would be defined as the year, so then you can't say that it should extend into the next year. We're not looking to, what do you mean? I didn't have enough of the 50th year, so give me some of the 51st year. And as far as that, if there's a concept of a gradual increase into the year, then I can understand that there would be a gradual changeover into the next year. But it doesn't make sense. I mean, if it says Kiddush, then it's Shnat HaChamishim. It means Shnat HaChamishim. What do you need extra Pasuk for? So what did the Rabbanan use this Pasuk for? They say that the meaning of Shnat HaChamishim is indeed Shnat HaChamishim HaTamoneh. You can count the 50th year only as the 50th year. You can't count the 50th year as the 51st year. Huh? Yes, believe it or not, there is a Shita who holds that the 50th year counts as the 51st year. Meaning, let's look in Rabbi Yehuda. He holds that you use the 50th year as the first year of the next seven, which means that every Yovel is only 49 years, not 50 years. So therefore, say the Rabbanan, that's the whole point of the Pasuk, is don't make that mistake. This is the 50th year, it's not the 51st year. Huh? The first year of Yovel. Yovel is already the first of the next 50 years of Yovel, which means that by definition, every time I have a Yovel, I'm already 49 years short of the next Yovel, not 50 years short. So therefore, comes along the Pasuk, says, Shnat Chamishim, this is the 50th year. Don't get confused. It's not the 51st year. You're going to have to count the 51st year as a separate year. So the next year will be the first year of the coming Shemitah. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, the next year is the second year already of the coming Shemitah. Okay? Very good. And anyways, I was right. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Bechad, B'tishrei. Rabbi Meir, Savare Matai Lavshukari Matsun Bisman Shamaki Miatfubar. Veimatai Makimi Atfubar. Beadar, Mitabrot Badar Beodot Baab, Rosh Hashanah Shanalu. There you go, QED. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omri. Ematai Lavshukari Matsun Bisman Shiitro Awaf Yashiro, which is when Ematai Shibalamon Shira only Nisan. Mitabrot Binisan Yodot Belu. Which means Rosh Hashanah Shalem Tishrei. Nu vidach nam yachtiv yitroahu af yashiro hu be'afata da'avya. Benisa. Vidach nam yachtiv ha'makim yafahu b'charfiyata da'ati mi'adar. So Bishlam, the Rabbi Meir, k'dichtiv, in that order. Lavshu karim atzon bizman sh'makim yatfu bar. And also, we don't want to forget about those slowpokes that are yitroahu af yashiro. El Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, he got in the wrong order. Ipcha mi boyle. Love Shukari Matson, it should say Bisman Shiitrahu Af Yashiro, the Ikanami, those precocious Amokim Yatfu Bar types. Yalam Ravadikula Yama Love Shukari Matson, Bisman Shamakim Yatfu Bar Badar, Vahakaba Aikrokamiflege, Aser to Aser Bishne Masrota Katum Daber, Echad Maser Bema Vechad Maser Dagan, Rabbi Meir Savar Makish Maser Bema Maser Dagan, Maser Dagan. Samuch l'gomro isuro af maser beima samuch l'gomro isuro v'rabi elazav v'rabi shimon savre makish maser beima l'maser dagan ma maser dagan rosh hashanah shelo tishrei af maser beima rosh hashanah shelo tishrei yechad b'tishrei rosh hashanah v'shanim l'mai hilchot amrav papa l'shtarot d'tnan shtarechov amugamim psulim v'amucharim kshirim Ivat, and Bechad Minisan Rosh Hashanah Lamlachim, and there, boy, you fooled me, Amil Amai Hilchata, of Amar of Chista, that's for Shtarah. Which one is it? No, what's the problem? Kal Namach Yisroh, Kal Namach Yomot Olam? Oh, but then you're saying, Adi Amar of Chista, Lo Shana Lamach Yisroh, Lamach Yomot Olam, Mitishre Manina, what? Rav Chista was just coming to tell us what the Mishnah is saying? The Mishnah says that, Metitata Lashmina. Lo, Rav Chista Kroya Talashmina. Or you know what? Maybe he was even coming to tell you the whole thing. And he holds it's not the Mishnah, because he holds like Rabbi Zera. The Rabbi Zera Amar the Tkufa. Going according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Amar, V'tishrei Nivra Olam. Therefore, we begin the Tkufa from Tishrei. Rav Nachman, Yitzchak Kamar Ledin. Tichtim Mireshita Shana Vada Acharit Shana. Mireshita Shana. Nidon Maye Besofa. And who says that's in Tishrei? Either literally or in the Pasuk or in the tefillah, depending on the pshat. Ave omer ze Rosh Hashanah, uchtim yichok v'yisrael, mishpat ulke Yaakov. Tan Rabbanu, yichok v'yisrael, mishpat ulke Yaakov, melamed she'in beitin shamala, nichvasin l'din elin, ken kitshu beitin shamata tachodesh. Tanya yidach, yichok v'yisrael, ohin l'alul yisrael, as far as the din. Lumoto olami nain, tamed lomar mishpat ulke Yaakov. So then, if that's the case, it's universal. So ma tamed lomar, yichok v'yisrael, Malamish Yisrael nechlasim techilah ledin kiruv fista, diam ruv fista. Melech betzibur melech nechlas techilah ledin nishnemer mishpat avdo u'mishpat amo maitayma ibaitin. Labu rachar l'meka malka avroi ibaitayma mikamid lepushkaron av. So shmiti min olon. Dichtivu b'shana sheviyit shabbat shabbaton yel haaretz v'gamar shana shana mitishrei dichtiv mireshit hashana, which we just showed was tishrei. The Ligmor Shana Shana Minisan, the Tivishon Lachem Lachotchea Shana, Danim Shana Sheini Machodashim, Mishana Sheini Machodashim, Vendarin Shana Sheini Machodashim, Mishana She Yeshi Machodashim, the Yovlot, Yovlot, Echad Betishrei. I thought Yovlot about Sarab Betishrei. Dechtivayoma Kippurim Taviru Shofar. No, we're going like Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher Yochanan and Broke here. The Tanya, Kidashtem et Shnat HaChamishim Shana, Matam Lomar. Vishnemar, be Yom HaKippurim, Yokolote mitkadeshet at all. Elam Yom HaKippurim ve'elach tamadono, ve'kidashtem et shnat ha-chamishim, that's it. From Rosh Hashanah. Melamed shemitkadeshet v'olechet b'tchilata. It's a process. Kamar Rebbe Shmuel ben Asher Yochanan ben Broka. Mi Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, lo ayu avadim niftarim levateihem, ve'lo mishta'abdim la'adoneihem, elo ochlim v'shotim usvechim, v'atarotehem v'roshehem. כיוון שהגיע יום הכיפורים, תרקו ביתים בשופר, נפטרו עבדים לבתיהם, שדות חוזות ובעליהם. ורבנן, שנים אתה מקדש ואתה מקדש חדשים. תניא אידך, יובל היא, מה אתה לומר? לפי שנאמר, וקדשתם את שנת החמישים, יוכל כשם שמתקדשת והולכת בתחילתה. כך מתקדשת והולכת בסופה, ואל תתאמי, שערי בוסיפי מחולה לקודש. תלמוד לומר יובל היא שנת החמישים. שנת החמישים אתה מקדש, והיא אתה מקדש, שנת החמישים ואחת. ורבנן, שנת החמישים אתה מונה, והיא אתה מונה שנת חמישים ואחת. לפוקים לרב יודדי אמר, שנת חמישים עולה לכאן ולכאן, כמה שמלן, תלו.